Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we've been singing a while ago to have an understanding of your ways, which we know is not just the letter of the word that we are in a position to now obey or should be in a position or cause us to be in a position to obey, but actually to know much of what lies behind your word, which is a revelation of yourself and your thinking. And we have had that, Lord, from a prophet. And we pray as we go into the study of your word, Lord, that that will become more precious to us and we'll become more amenable to it. We'll become more satisfied with it, more a part of it, just to go along with the grace of God and the things of God and not entertain questions and doubts because of those things which are given us, but rather to just rely upon them. And then, Lord, we know that all will be well with us. So help us in our study today. And in all studies, Lord, whether we be together as a people, by ourselves, in groups whatsoever, may it be that way, Lord. We'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're continuing our studies, and I think this is number 3, concerning, we might say, the woman's place in the church, or woman in Scripture. I just call it the sisters in the Word. And before I go into a part of a quote of the question, I want to say that we're going to be dealing with a very difficult part of marriage and divorce, where Brother Branham brings out some things that are very, very difficult, perhaps, for some people to take, especially it seems like it's a throw-off on the women. But just before we start, I want to give you an illustration. And I was talking to a sister a while ago, and I said, I've got something to tell you in the church service. I don't see her here this morning, but she may be crouched down somewhere. But it's on a tape anyway. And it has to do with the meeting in Lima in 1957 when Brother Branham was there. And we had a breakfast in Clemens, and Bill and Mary know where that is down there, near the Allen County Memorial Auditorium. And after the breakfast, Brother Branham said, Lee, I've got to apologize to the people and to you. I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, at that breakfast this morning, there was a lady sitting there, fairly stout, and she had her hair cut very short, and it was white. She didn't have a lot of it either. And she had that blue tinge on it, which made her look like one of these Easter chickens. And it was slightly horrendous, to say the least. And he said, in my heart I was condemning her when the voice of God said, you are wrong. She is the most spiritual person sitting in that building. Now, if you want to leave now, go ahead. Now, this is not to make the women feel good and the men be down, as though I'm looking at your wives or your daughters. I'm a fair, square preacher. Before God, this is the white throne. I've got to be very correct in what I tell you. People judge by appearances. Certain preachers call women Jezebels, and they have no right to. Unless you have the full authority of the Word of God and know their lives. This woman was a fine woman. She was never under the gospel as it was really given by the Holy Spirit. And she was a victim, as many women today are victims, and men have been victims of organization and a falsification of the Scripture through satanic powers. Now, I just leave that with you as an illustration that you might know that no matter what Brother Branham says, and I'll be reading page after page this morning, and I'll try to read fast because I've got quite a bit to say on the subject. When we look at the question that was brought to us, are women spiritually inferior to men and therefore more sinful? You could well believe that this is indeed the case from what some scripture seems to say and what a lot of men say about it. But this morning, my answer is an unequivocal no. I do not believe for 1 minute that women are spiritually inferior to men and therefore more sinful. And I'll try to explain, in spite of everything you seem to hear and I seem to hear, that I would still take that stand and not lead you astray. Now, I suppose that some people think that women are inferior spiritually to men because a certain scripture, such as found throughout the Bible, and we'll begin by reading in Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, just a little thing there said by Solomon, 24 to 28, and that which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, and even in madness, foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleadeth God shall escape her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this I have found, said the preacher, continuing, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Okay, in Proverbs, just let it sit there, and don't think any thoughts, and this especially to the women. Don't you thinking anything at all, except just listen. Because there's always, you know, an understanding that sometimes we lack. My son, attend unto my wisdom. Proverbs 5, 1 now. Bow thine ear to my understanding. Proverbs 5, 1, 2. That thou mayest regard discretion, and thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold of hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Devious. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, depart not from the words of my mouth. And then he said, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honors unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. And so on. Proverbs 7, the whole chapter, though I don't think we need to read it. My son, keep my words and lay my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law is the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the tables of thy heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman. Now, you notice the adjectives. It doesn't say all women. It says from the strange woman. From the stranger which flatters with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and I beheld among the simple ones. Now, these are the sex-oriented youths, or they desire to be sexually oriented. They're not just what they're out there looking for, what they think is a good time. So, all right, let's find out what the Bible says about you if you're sitting here this morning. And 99%, if not 100%, have been in this case. See, just begin to realize this is humanity. This is what God says about it, and the men that have been through it, like Solomon and these great men of old. And I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner. It's a red light district he's going through. And he went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. That's about the time they go. They didn't want to be the daytime. Somebody might see him. Behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abideth not in her house. Now she's without, now she's in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. It's a good picture of Times Square and about every other city in the world. So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face and said unto him, I have peace offerings with me this day, have I paid my vows. Therefore I come forth to meet thee. Now she's talking, of course, of, you know, what the offering you're supposed to make after menstrual periods and those things. She's declaring herself a fit candidate for sexual intercourse. Diligently seek thy face, I found thee. I've decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, carved works, fine linen of Egypt. I perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till the morning, and so on, and so on. And then it says here, verse 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. There's your good time Charlie's, the gate community, and a whole bunch of them. Look at the Bible the way it's written. You're not going to get away from it. See, as a fool to the correction of the stocks. You think the gay community, these bisexuals aren't like sitting in stocks before the public and everybody knows they've got AIDS and everything else? Just read your Bibles. Don't think you're, you know, nobody here's one step ahead of the Bible. The trouble is we're always 1,000 steps and too many years behind it. As a bird hates it, he says, till a dart strike through his liver. When your liver's shot, you're gone. As a bird hates it to the snare, deliberately flies into it, knoweth not that it's for his life. Hearken unto me, therefore, ye children, attend the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Well, Cleopatra, the Helen of Troy's. Start thinking over history. Many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. All right? Revelation chapter 2. We just jump back and forth. And we're going to look at the 18th to 23rd verses. Unto the angel, the messenger of the church which is in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. That's the judge bringing into action to give a decision. I know your works and your love and your service, your faith and your patience, your works to be the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have something against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. And they've all done it. All the churches that are organized will go right to the great tribulation. Are all her lovers. All that fool around with the organizational thing. Except they repent of their deeds. Now kill her children with death. That means a second death, that lake of fire. And all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins and hearts. Give unto everyone according to your works. Revelation 17, 1 to 6. There came one of the seven angels that had the seven vials and talked me, saying, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk of the wine of her fornications. He carried me away in the spirit of the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand filled with the abomination, filthiness of fornication. And upon her head was name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, the abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, you're seeing the picture of the whore over here in the book of Proverbs. And you're seeing what is typed in Scripture and shown in Scripture as a woman in a sex act. And when I read Brother Branham, you are going to have to keep this in mind, because it's going to sound like he's putting a downer on the women. He is not putting a downer on the women. Now, you've got to understand, because you can let your minds go. The men can let their minds go, and you will end up in hog soup. You're not going to end up in the sheep pasture. You can't do it. All right, now let's go to 1 Timothy 2. Begin to read the scripture again. And it says in verses 8 to 15, I will therefore that men, now this is in the singular, the masculine, masculinity, that I will men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. It doesn't say women can't do that too, but the emphasis here on men. This is, we're looking at the sexes here. In like manner also, now watch women. This is a female. That women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness. That's, you know, not the brassy type. That's all the same. Be comely and right, not brassy. And sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. In other words, don't make that the factors in life. Don't be a Hollywood girl. But that which becometh professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor usurp authority, or with a man, but to be in silence. Now this has to do, evidently, with the setting of teaching and doctrine in the church. Now it doesn't say she can't talk, as though she hasn't got a witness and doesn't understand things. This is in your church here. But she's to learn. She's to be a learner, not a teacher. Now, that's to be understood. In other words, a woman is not capable, according to Scripture here, or not allowed, whichever way you want to put it, to enter into an understanding of her own. Now, just remember what it says. Nor do you usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So it puts the man in the position here of a headship of a doctrinal position. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Now, he tells you. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she'll be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. And with that, we looked at the other day at 1 Peter. And the seventh verse, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that's the women, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. He's giving honor to her, see? As unto the weaker vessel. In other words, there's something a man has to do for the woman to make up in any area where she might have a weakness. Okay, that's helped me both ways. All right, 1 Corinthians 14. 34 to 37, and you're all acquainted with that, I know. It said, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the law. Well, what's obedience? Well, to keep that form of understanding. And if they will learn anything, now notice that, if they will learn anything, that the master husband's at home, for it's a shame for me to speak in the church. Now, there again we see the premise set forth. Now, I'm going to read from Brother Branham, and there is so much to read. I'm going to have to read it fast, and you just have to kind of listen along. The Marriage and Divorce, where Brother Branham seemingly comes out as a woman-hater, which he vehemently denies, and I deny with him. Jesus said, go back to the beginning. There is only one pair of anything on earth. There was one Adam and one Eve. They were joined by God alone. Now, you watch that and remember that. That's why this church teaches so strong. On when you're in this message, you better make sure that each one knows exactly God speaking to your heart, and you know that one's from God. Now, you say that's difficult. That may be difficult, but it is not impossible. Now, we'll be here for 18 hours if I don't stop talking, but you see. All right, let's keep going. One female horse, one male. One female parrot, one male. At the beginning, as he told us to go back, there was only one pair of anything. Is that true? Then we find out that everything in the beginning was running in perfect order and harmony with God. Nothing was out of cater. Everything in heaven is still in order. All the stars, the galaxies, the solar system, everything is perfectly in order. Then one of them move and interrupt the whole program. Now listen. Do you see? One interruption spoils the entire program. Now, when human beings were running in continuity with God, with one man and one woman, this woman sinned. And it threw the whole earthly program out of continuity with God. Therefore, one word added to this book, or one word taken from it, throws a Christian out of continuity with God, throws a church out of continuity with God, throws a family out of continuity with God. Every believer can be thrown out by not accepting every word of God. Then it was the woman that caused the separation of the lovely home. It was not a cherubim that bothered the earth. It was not Adam that threw out the home out. It was not anything else that threw out the home out and threw the whole thing out of continuity but a woman, Eve. Now, this is the thing that I trust you caught when I was praying. To understand, you can't simply take the surface words. You've got to come to the place in this hour under the seven seals and the thunders that you now know what was behind it all. What was God doing and why was He doing it? Why did He allow it? So when you understand, this becomes sovereign principle, what we're talking about. Sovereign principle that God not only allowed, but God predicated in order that it be allowed to bring forth these attributes. Then you are in the realm that I'm trying to get you to and to understand, as I've said on more than one occasion, if you can't grasp what I'm talking about now, this message will become cardboard to you. You will spit it out. You will leave it. And don't tell me you won't, because I talked to women in this congregation already, and you're bucking things. Not much the men. I haven't caught you out so far. But don't think I stand up here as a perfect fool. A fool, yes, but not perfect. I'm going to be tough on you. And you know I'm not. Little things we call out here and there that I know are general. And it strikes some, he says, why don't you go to that person personally? It's over the whole church. Why should they go? And you, the spreader, why didn't you start something? Say, hey, that shouldn't be done. I might not be a nice person, but I'm not a bad person. My ways aren't perfect, but I'm telling you the truth. Now, you've got to understand what is behind this. Because nobody's running down women, and nobody's running down men. You wait, I'll give you some scripture. You'll find some things in here that, that cut throats. And you'll find the men bleed just as much as the women. And before it's all over, you may find the men will bleed a whole lot more than the women. Nobody should really bleed. Okay. Reading here. The woman, not the man, she broke the covenant. She broke the covenant because why? She stepped across the border of God's word. Now, she broke her covenant with her husband. She broke her covenant with God. Her covenant with her husband was, based on the word of God, you are joined to each other and become one flesh, not flesh with the beast. In other words, every woman's got some man waiting for her, and every man's got some woman, except in the case where God's ordained, a certain person might remain celibate. Now, if you're going to grab a lemon instead of an orange, don't come blaming the church. Well, sorry about that. That's how it goes. I'm not up here to laugh at you. The thing is, look, I'm not God. But I'm going to teach what God's word is. I hope anyway, because look, then I'll not be afraid in his presence. I don't have to be afraid. When you break your promise and your covenant to God's word, that's what caused so many illegitimate church members, because a group of men got together and said, well, it doesn't mean that, and it throws the whole organization out of continuity with the word. Oh, we don't believe that. Dr. Jones says it wasn't so. But as long as God said it so, he said, let every man's word be a lie, and let mine be the truth. This breaks the continuity. Now, we see being that the continuity is broken, and the lifeline was then broken. Also, the timeline was broken. Lifeline and timeline. They couldn't walk to the tree of life and get immortality now. Broken. 6,000 years breakage. The lifeline was broken. Your bodies died. We're an entity. 1, 2, 3. Body, soul, spirit. Two things live on, one goes. Dead. Body's dead, 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 dead. Soul and spirit do different things. They don't die. The timeline's broken. The lifeline's broken. The covenant was broken. Everything shattered. Right. Right. Taking rule control. Broken. Gone. Shot. It was all done by that woman doing it. I said that, not Brother Van. What caused it? A woman. That's what he said. What broke the covenant? Now, if you want to read that, it's in Genesis 3. We read it many times. Now, it was then the man was made ruler over the woman by God's word. Now, men can say, look, God's word says I am your ruler. That's not what Brother Branham is saying in my books. He is saying the woman rules the man by the word of God. And if he doesn't rule her by the word of God, he's got no power over her. Sure. You're just a couple of stumble bum sinners, both of you. I am too, me and my wife. When I refer to you as a principal, not a person. See, okay. She was no more co-equal with him. She was co-equal in nature formerly, you know that. But when she broke God's word, God made a man to be a ruler over her. Genesis 3:16. She was no more equal with the man. She was a breaker of God's word. Don't you see? She, the church down here, the breaker of God's word. That threw her completely out of continuity, and that's what the church has done. It threw spiritual death upon the whole thing. Now you'll understand why I hammer these things to do. It's the truth. The Bible is a book of facts. Now what you're seeing right here is Brother Branham going basically to the typing of what the man and the woman is typing in the word of Almighty God, which is now God reflecting in all nature, and we'll bring it up more, his whole entire attributes and what he wanted. So now I want us all this morning, if we can, to sit here not as male and female, but spectators. Spectators. Judiciously listening to what this is about, and it's not personal to either sex. You follow what I'm saying? We're looking generically, man and woman, over history. Now, let's get part of that in here. Some of it's personal, but let's pay that down for the time being. I'll bring that up. See, she the church. Notice, why did she do such a thing as this? How could that lovely, beautiful, perfect woman do such a thing? You see, I was in Greece. I saw a picture an artist had painted of Eve. And she was the most horrible looking thing you've ever seen. That shows what a carnal mind can look at. You ever seen these pictures of women by these painters today? Oh, God. Reuben was bad enough making the extra big hips. She didn't look like the fillies on the racetrack. She looked like a plow horse, sort of. You know what I'm talking about? But he was accurate. But you see these others, what they draw for a woman? Yuck. I wonder who their mothers were. Or their nannies. Or their sisters. Here it is. What a terrible thing. Carnal mind. But Eve wasn't that way. She was beautiful. She was a perfect woman and all woman. I like those thoughts. Now, why did she do such a thing? And I don't mean from the physical side. I mean, I like to hear a man bring this out in Scripture. Now notice, why did she do such a thing, being in that high order? She was right with the man, co-equal with him. But we all know that she lost her co-equality with man when she sinned, and God said, man shall be your ruler from here out. Now remember, that's specifically by the word of God. And again, we're just looking at history. I'm giving you the Scripture that you might read it yourself, not reading it. Notice she did that. How did Satan get to her? Did you know Satan was co-equal with God one day? He sure was, all but a creator. He was everything. He stood at the right hand of God in heaven, a great leading cherubim. Notice the reason she did this. She was not in the original creation. She is not in God's original creation. She is a byproduct. Now, here's where your mind can go to cardboard. Right? I'll be honest with you. Can be very tasteless. Very tasteless. Now, you can go on with God or you can go back on God. I got a word for you. God never asked me and didn't ask you and didn't ask any prophet. What do you think of this? Hey, am I going off here? Should we change this? You know he never did. The very fact of God is sovereign and he does what he wants when he wants to do it and how he wants to do it and with whom he wants to do it and shut up and sit down. And praise God. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough. Because let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, even serpents eat. Why? Because the goodness of God fills the earth. What else? She was not in the original creation. She was a byproduct. Therefore, at the beginning, as Jesus referred to it, she was not in the original. She was not an original created being of God. Now, he's speaking of the fleshly thing here. She's a byproduct of a man, when Jesus referred to the beginning. Remember, Adam was both masculine and feminine in his original creation. One. But when he was separated by a rib, notice, a byproduct. And notice, the only one of all God's creation, of every animal and anything else, she was the only one designed this way or brought forth this way. Now, you know that's the truth. Now, the question would come, why was she done this way? Continuity in nature would have demanded that God made Adam and Eve together, physically, the same time as he made everything else and in the same manner. God did not do it that way. Why? Now, you're sitting as spectators. It's neither male nor female. It's spectator participation. The question comes, why? Notice, the only one of God's creation, of every animal and anything else, she was the only one designed this way. Every other female was in the original creation. Every other female was in the original creation, but he was not in the original creation. That's absolutely right. See, that had to be made that way. We'll get to it after on. Notice, in this creation she was in, not the original, but a byproduct. And not an afterthought. No. And in this creation, there's now. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want to tell you the truth. And you just sit still. You're doing real nice. Now, here is where the women must not take offense, but sit and participate with the men, and your feelings are brought down to zilch, nothing. You are participating spectators. And this is none of your business. Right? You make it your business, I'm going to ask you a question. What are you going to do about it? I'll take your oath. I'll take your affidavit. I'll hold your hand. But not cross the border with you. Okay, listen. There's nothing designed to be so deceitful as a woman that's deceitful. Not a woman that's not deceitful, but a woman that's deceitful. Book of Proverbs. There cannot be anything else because there's nothing made to be that way. Also, there's nothing that can be so easy to deceive as a woman. Now, the fall proves this statement to be true, the fall in the beginning. She was not in the original creation. That's just what Paul said. She was in Adam, but in a female sex, but not in a female sex, that's of herself, at the beginning. Now, we're talking of sex when it comes to physical. We're not talking of the feminine spirit, because it was in Adam. She was a byproduct. She was made. Now, there's nothing designed that can deceive and be deceived as easy as a woman. If there is, how come the woman fell instead of something else? Now, again, we're not talking about personalities and persons and things. We're looking at the historical record. Now, if you can get real peace in your minds and hearts, what I'm speaking today, and we'll be here a long time. We've got to do two tapes. We'll just have to do two tapes. If you're too hungry, some of you go on home. We're going to finish this. But you have got to come to the place of an understanding. It's the same as white throne. Why are you having trouble with white throne? Because you simply won't take it. I took it. I said, hey, I found something. Brother Branham said it. It was the juicy plum falling off the tree of the knowledge of God. And I have absolutely no problem with white throne now. I'm sorry if you do. I'm sorry for it, but I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You just haven't taken it. You put your own thoughts in the way. I said, how can this be? You're finished. Now, up here, I'm dirty and aligned with you. Kiss your feet or anything else. Haven't got guts at all. But here's a different story. Because I'm judged by one thing, my preaching and my teaching. Nothing else. You may think so, but I'm not. I'm not trying to hurt you. But you got to learn to take what he said, or you don't believe in fallibility. Because, listen to me, brother, sister, this may be hard to take. An organization is very easy to take. Never was easy to take the things of God. Yes, sir. There's nothing this design that can deceive and be as deceived as easy as a woman. Think now. Nothing designed in all creation can stoop as low as a woman. That's a principle we must just remember. Now, I defend women, but I got to stop defending women, and you got to stop being women and defending women or yourselves, and just take this word and see where it goes. See, that's what I'm depending on in this church. Take this word and see where it goes. I don't care about the world out there. 5 billion people are going to go to the lake of fire if they're going to go to the lake of fire. That has nothing to do with Lee Vale and God. You may think it does, but you're wrong. It's a one-to-one basis. If 5 billion people want to mess up, that's their business. Think now. Nothing designed in all creation is stupid as low as a woman can. She can tear a man's heart to pieces easier than anything else there is in the world. Is his wife. Take that nice little wife. Runs around with another man. Look at that little fellow sitting home with his children. Tears dropping out of his eyes. She's designed that way. She's designed to do this. You know when I heard Brother Brandon say that? I just about chuckled.
And then, now, come on, Bill. I know more women that are home crying than husbands running around. But his was prophetic. Just before the squeeze, because right now more women are leaving home than men. For the first time in history. And William Branham was an end time prophet. Right to the last hour. They're right back where they were. Throwing, as she threw everything out of continuity in the Garden of Eden, she, the woman, is doing it again. And man's completely helpless as he was back there. He's got to stick with her. Now, let's understand this. She is designed that way. She is designed to do this. Now, you're not doing it here, so you're watching history. There is no hog, no dog, no other animal designed like her or can stoop so low as she can stoop. Now, that is true. With regards to my sisters, I just want you to watch. No animal can be immoral. You call the dog a slut, female dog a slut. You call the female hog a sow. We do that because we think people are such slobs. But her morals are a million miles beyond many a Hollywood star's. We have nothing but rotten prostitutes from Hollywood running the world. As Brother Branham said, Paris was once the hubs of hell. Hollywood is now. And I'm going to say this, the word whore is too good a word for those women. Because they play role models for all the rest of the women. You see why I say we got to clean our homes up? We may never do it. We might be sitting here for the Great Tribulation, too. Too big a price to pay, my dear brothers and sisters, is it? Brother Branham said he'd sooner have the oath of the Knights of Columbus perpetrated upon him, if there be such an oath, and we find by courts that there was such an oath, than be 3 to 5 minutes in the Great Tribulation. Do what you want. I'm going to do what I want. Let every man be a liar, but God's word be true. You'll find it. We'll find it true one of these days. Just think of that. There's nothing in the world made in God's creation can be immoral. Stoop that low. Now, wait a minute. What about the man? We're going to get to that, too. The woman has to say yes. You know why? Rape originally brought the death sentence. If women had not stooped to what they're doing, there'd still be a death sentence for rape. I remember reading where a woman was raped by a man. Everybody thought that she could have made a mistake. She knew she didn't. And she stood there and gleefully watched him hung. Nice lady. I don't mind her at all. She had guts. She said, I wasn't meant for that.
You weren't meant to do it.
The state hung him. Billy Graham prescribed castration. They turned on him like a pack of wolves. So what are you men doing sitting here thinking you're somebody? Two men think you're nobody. Wait till I read the Bible and show you what this age is like. 3 hours to go. Notice. There's nothing designed to stoop so low or be filthy about a woman. I ask you a question. Did a cherubim cause the fall? Did a dog cause the fall? Did a horse cause the fall? Did Adam cause the fall? Who caused the fall? Now, don't get a spirit against women, and women get a spirit up on this thing. We are looking at facts. If we believe the Bible, if we believe this. If we don't believe this, forget it. Make up your own religion. Because you cannot get away from the fact that Eve did it. It was not Adam who initiated it. And you know she was different, as the prophet points out, from Adam and from everything else. So therefore, you have to understand there's something in there that did it. So, let's keep looking. A dog can't do it, a hog can't do it, a bird can't do it, no animal's immoral. That's right. No animal is immoral. We may blush when we see what animals can do and do. But not immoral. Absolutely not immoral. Female hog can't be immoral. Female dog can't be immoral. Female bird can't be immoral. A woman is the only one that can do it. Now, it doesn't say a man can't be immoral. Can't understand that. We're just talking from basic principles going back. And in it, we find the type of the church. We find Christ and the bride. We find all of these things. We find the reasons and the programs in God's mind to understand. And when we get understanding, we begin to get free of these things. And we begin to walk and live in the truth. And that's what the prophet came to do. To bring us a freedom. Get the women free in a real freedom and the men free in a real freedom. Now, you see where Satan went? See? She's the one that's got the power to say yes or no. Now, the serpent did not rape her. He'd have been squashed and annihilated. Now, that's when you see the law of the land is so slack on rape as it is today. This country is finished, 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 finished. It's all over. Because the woman has to say yes. She may be seduced, but she may not be raped. Now, you see where men are gone today? Let a man rape a woman? Oh. They just ask him all about it. Do you think it was as good as it's going to be? Till on the air, a little four-year-old got raped, and the guy, he was too big a blabbermouth. He said, well, it's too bad. He said, they can't learn to relax and enjoy it. To the firing. So you see, we just watch, 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 watch. She's got the power to say no, and when she says no, that should end it. Violence or anything else? Now, if he seduces her, she's supposed to marry her. Now, here we see plainly the serpent seed, where it came in. Where else could it come in? How do you get born? There had to be some place where it came in. It's not strictly spiritual, it's physical. Because God has to have a physical for a spirit. Like we can have a spirit come in this room here. But unless one of us lets it into us, that spirit's hogtied. So therefore, in the economy of God, there had to be some place. Now, this does not make a woman a slob. We're looking at the history. Here we see plainly serpent seed where it came in. There's only one place Satan the serpent could go. The beast. If that wouldn't nail it down, somebody's got to be blind. Now notice, the reason animals couldn't do it, a female animal, they were in the original creation. But a woman was not in the original creation. How's anybody going to make bride unless they're originally in Jesus Christ? In the original. You had to be back there in the Logos. In the beginning was the Word. And then you say, that which was from the beginning which we handled. Way back there when that light, the anointing began to come forth. If you weren't in the original, you've got no representation now. No animal could do it, no female, so on. She is designed alone for filth and unclean living. A dog can, no other female can, just a woman can. A dog or an animal once a year, and that for babies, not for sexual pleasure, but for her babies. The old sow hog, the old slut dog, once a year, one moment, that's for babies. A woman is designed for any time she desires. I got some stuff here I'll cross out. You can imagine the rest. A dog can't. Woman can't. I hope the Holy Spirit reveals to you what I've crossed out. She's the only species of female, that is made prettier than the male. There's not another species among anything. All other creatures of God are beautiful males, such as animals, birds, and so forth. Always the male is pretty. Speaks the one that, the only male that's prettier than the female, the only female is prettier than the male in any species Brother Branham could remember and bring to attention was a bird. and she henpecked him. Look at the big buck deer, big fine horn, great species, little humble doe. Look at the big rooster with all these pretty feathers, little brown hen. Look at the birds, cock and hen. Why? Why was it such of all creatures of God? With every creature, the males are prettiest. Between the sheep, between the hogs, between the horses, between anything else. It's always a big male that's pretty. In the birds, but in the human race, it's a woman that's pretty, not the man. If he is, there's something wrong with him. He's crossed up some words. What do you think of them apples? Why was it done? To deceive by. Her designer, Satan, is still working on her in these last days. Let me stop a moment. Pretty. Did you know that the first destruction internationally of the world, worldwide, was because of pretty women? When the sons of God saw the daughters of men were fair, they took any number of wives he wanted. Is that right? Have you noticed the increase in beauty of women in the last days? Oh, man, everywhere you go, beautiful men. I saw the picture of Pearl Bryan, which was supposed to be the prettiest one in the nation at that time. There isn't a teenage girl in this school but would outshadow her when it comes to beauty. The increase of the beauty of women is showing the time of deception. It's a type. You got to see the whole thing there. So don't look at women in the picture now. Look at what they're typing and what's behind it. When did a church look any prettier than it does today? That's what John saw. Look at how beautiful. Even this knife and the switchblade guy, Wilkerson, he's wakened up. Away in the Assemblies of God and said they're just charismatic and all they want is money. And he said they're the rich, miserable, blind, and don't even know it. Boy, they're going to be out a knife after his hide. You watch. They are already. You'll get him. He just pity the kid doesn't go further. Pity doesn't go further. When did a church look any prettier than does today? Everything is featuring great, big, fine buildings, millions of this and millions of that. Don't you see? She, the deception. Now, there's nothing to stoop like her. She's designed so she can be deceiving. And Satan is really working on her today because he is her designer. I could prove that now to go back to the beginning. Who started to work on her, Adam or Satan? God or Satan? See? That's her designer. In other words, he's the one that forms and helps her shape her life. It's her chief weapon to throw. It's her chief weapon to throw man to her filth. Being a pretty woman, she can sway a man any way she wants to. Brother, it ain't the bootleg joint down there that gets the man. It's the pretty woman knocked down the street, twisting herself half-dressed. That's a deceiver right there. She's deadly with it, absolutely deadly. You may question me about Satan being her designer, but that's the truth. In other words, Satan didn't make her. What he's saying is that he put his effort into getting her to where he wanted her, and because that is what God allowed, it is being done. Let me show you something in Scripture. I've got to take you back to Scripture and draw your opinion as how it is today. Satan is the one who features that kind of beauty, if you'll notice. He was the most beautiful of all the angels in heaven. He himself was beautiful. Is that right? Scripture says so. And he desired to make heaven a more beautiful place than the kingdom of Michael's. Is that right? Also, we see that Cain was his son, and he offered a more beautiful worship than did Abel. Decorate his altar with fruits and flowers and so forth. Is that right? Beautiful. Sin is beautiful, what we call beauty today. And sin is deceiving by beauty. You could never look at a woman going down the street and tell what's in her heart, see? But I wanted to say these things so you could see why Satan's her designer. So you see, you realize that something is going on out there amongst the women. It's pervading also amongst the men. We understand that. All in types and setting forth what was in the mind of God, typing and showing these things, but we don't know what's in the heart of a woman. She could be a perfect, lovely person, and here we know that to be the truth. In this church. Now listen, about 5 minutes, one thought for 5 minutes and he goes on to many more. I want to call your attention to something. What is God? God is the great eternal. At the beginning, way back before there was a beginning, he wasn't even God. Do you know that? A God is an object of worship and there wasn't anything to worship him. He lived alone and in him were attributes. What is an attribute? A thought. That's more than that. It's an attribute is that which attributes, which brings things out, which makes you that's in there that you can see coming out. See, it's a forceful issue. And that's God being omniscient. That's the first thing Brother Bannon relate to, is the attributes of God all lie in the realm of the thinking, because being God, he can explode it right out like that. Anything he wants, because that's omniscient. That's omnipotent. See what I mean? Okay, so he's got to go to the attributes of the omniscience. Now, God is an object of worship, and there's nothing, and there wasn't anything to worship. He lived alone. And any more attributes. What is an attribute of thought? Now you'll get something that will border on the lesson for tonight. Notice, he was his attributes that were in him. That's right, he was the sum total of it. Now, it was in him to be Father. It was in him to be God. It was in him to be Son. It was in him to be Savior. It was in him to be Healer. And all of these things here are just displaying his attributes. There's nothing out of order. You think God didn't see the end from the beginning? Certainly did. There's nothing out of order. He's just displaying his attributes. Now listen to what's behind this. Now, he could not just make a man, he could not be just and make a man to fall. Follow? He had to put him on an equal basis of free moral agency to make his own choice, but knowing he would fall. Now that's simple. I've hired some men here to do some work for me. I don't like a couple of you. So I start putting the cement in 200-pound bags. Well, the two men can't lift the 200-pound bags, but the rest can. I didn't fire you. You just couldn't do the work. You're gone. Simple as ABC. God needs foreknowledge. See, it's deeper than that, but that's as far as the veil can go. Now, he can't be a savior unless something's lost. He can't be a healer unless something's sick. These things had to be that way. You can't change God. Don't argue with him. God made them thus, so that his great attributes could be displayed. If there weren't any, he'd never been a savior. Any sinners. But we know he was. And he was even before time, he was a savior. He was a savior. So there has to be something lost. How's it going to be? If he takes and loses it just in order to save it, then it doesn't do justice to his judgment. He couldn't send a man to hell and be just. He's kind and gentle and true and honest, and he's a great judge. And the more you listen to the judge, the better you're going to be off, because that's the most salient factor and character that God represents, that's represented in God as the judgeship. See, he'd be working against himself, so he had to put a man out here and make him on a free moral agency, knowing he would fall. And the man in his own image, how could he fall? Now you're seeing daylight. So he had to make a byproduct, something out of the original creation. So God then would have to have it so man has a part in it. That's why man's got a part bringing back salvation. He's got to have a part in it. There you come, see? Then that's what fell, the byproduct. He made it knowing it would fall. And it's put over in the hands of Satan for a vessel of dishonor. Where's honor bestowed today? You think on that. On a woman. Notice closely. Then again, why was she designed this way and not like other females? Why was the woman designed not so and not other females? None of the other females were designed thus. They're not today. They can't. Not being made that way, she can't do it. Why did he not make this female then a woman, just like other females, so she'd be the same way, just raise her babies? Then she'd have a husband, live, then it came time for a baby, she'd have her baby. Why did he make her like this? Now watch his great program unfold, and we can go from there now. Just as perfect can be. I didn't notice the other day. He didn't make her like that in the beginning, like the rest of the... Why didn't he make her like that in the beginning, like the rest of the females? Because it would be unbecoming to him. He's the fountain of all purity. That's the reason he had to let Satan get hold of her. What he did in the perversion. In other words, if she'd have been the original, talking now of the human vehicle... There's no way it could have been done. See? Such a creature would not be becoming him, originally designed for. All his work that he designed in the original are in continuity. True. See how Brother Branham's speaking the truth? All of his original works were in continuity. The female dog, male dog. Female cow, male cow. Everything in continuity. All nature in continuity. Seed die, go to the ground, just like that bare resurrection. The sap goes down the tree, drops its leaf, comes back the next year at the resurrection newly. See what I mean? Everything, even nature of God, is all in continuity in one. And here one's designed out of continuity of God. In other words, there's got to be applying the ointment somewhere. Because everything else proves everything is all right. But something's messing something up. What did it? Go back to the beginning. So we see a woman, a byproduct. There's where the fall started. Now, this is just knowing the way of God. Nature is designed so it can't sin. Everything in continuity. Here's one designed out of continuity, right? Nature can't sin. Think, the original creation of God could not sin. Adam was not deceived. See why he sinned? He joined the woman, he wouldn't let her go. Oh, don't you see it now in this view here, the perversion of the church? And remember, Adam knew full well what he was doing. And so does the church. Paul himself said, it wasn't done in a corner, the church knows. This wasn't done in a corner, the church knows, and they turned it down. The people followed their leaders. Eve followed Satan. Look where it got us. Let's follow God, see where it gets us. Don't you see now this view here, the perversion of the church? The original is God's word. There's no sin in God. See what I mean? Here's a creature that came into existence by a perversion. It's a byproduct. The word perversion. The word perversion there, I don't think is the very best, except in this sense. It is not in the original pattern. It's changed from it, so therefore constitutes a perversion. Whereas we use the word perversion in a different and a hoarier way, hairier way too, and a more meaningful, derogatory way. Raphael, Brother Branham does not mean this derogatory. It is scientific. It's a deviation from what would be properly in continuity. So he said it becomes a perversion. And that is true. Just want to explain the words that you don't think something is too hairy here. God's going to have a church, but look at this perverted thing that's got up there now. And yet, there's just a razor edge between the two. God's going to have a church. God has made male and female, but this woman. See, the very symptoms of it show back what's in God's mind. In other words, he's warning us again to recognize everything that was done was for a reason in the mind of God. Made this creature for that way. He made the creature and turned her so Satan could get a hold of her, and he did. He still got her. She'd better flee to the cross like the man too. Notice, all nature runs in continuity. If he had made the woman the original creation, there'd have been no sin because she couldn't have done it. She could not have done it. She is a perversion of the original creation. Now, all you got to do is simply accept. Say, yes, I see. God allowed it. That's what it is. It's no big shake then to me as an individual, nor is it wrapping individuals. It's letting you in on a principle. Then when people's minds go to the correct principle, you begin to see God did it for a purpose. See? To reveal and glorify himself. Then what will he give us for being a part of it? We share in the entire glory of God. Let's begin to see these things and soften down. See, Brother Branham had to be hated on this message. Let the ignorant remain ignorant. All sin. So is all sin. A perversion of original truth. What is a lie? A truth perverted. What's adultery? The right act perverted. So there is the perverted creature. There is the perverted whole thing. And the whole thing spelled S-I-N, sin. Lying right there. That's why the question's so great. That's marriage and divorce. Only a piece, a scrap made of a man to deceive him by. Another little rib taken out. God made it. Right here proved it. That's what she was made for. Now here you come to a place, well then why is God fussing? God is not fussing. That's what they said to Paul. Well, why does God yet find fault? He said, what are you talking about? He said, God's God. Who's fussing? God isn't fussing. He's trying to show you something. This is why the wisdom of man can't take this. Now, you might sit here this morning and say, well, Brother Dale, I received the cross. Hogwash, you received the cross. I explained that on Saturday night. There's an instant cross. Contradico is a cross. A contradiction. When one saying crosses another saying. Like this, here is God's word up there, let us say. I don't care which way you put it. This man's word, there's a cross. If this is God's word, man made the cross. You're not accepting a cross, you're making a cross, and you'll be crucified on it. Now, if I'm going to be tough on you, I'm sorry, man. Look, I got perfect ease up here. The more I preach this, the easier I see it. I say, hey, that's what God did. I don't look at old Eve as having done the whole thing. She was the vehicle. I don't think it's very nice. I regret that she did it in that sense. But how can I regret these things when I know they are of God? See, I just got to roll with a bunch. An immoral woman is the lowest thing that can be thought of on earth. That's an immoral woman. See? Doesn't say a good woman. Excuse this young lady. She's nothing but a human garbage can. A sex expose all. You know, like the thing in your sink? Garbage dispose all? Sex expose all. That's all she is. An immoral woman is a human sexual garbage can, a pollution where filthy, dirty, ornery, low-down filth is disposed by her. What she made that war for deception. Every sin that was ever on earth was caused by a woman. A report just came to Chicago. A woman wrote this article. She was with the police force. They chased down the United States that the people they caught in the States. 98% of every crime ever done in any form in the United States had a woman behind it or in it. What about the Midlothian where the high school kids killed a cop, a young cop, for trying to uncover dope in the school? What they call them, Jump 21? Is that a program on TV? I don't watch TV. Jump 21? And Miami Squad, they called him Jump 21. And it was known they were going to kill him on Friday night. Who was in it? A married woman, 23 years old. Look at the mafia. They glorify their women. Now they sleep with every other one. Do these women have to sleep with these men? Now, Brother Banner laid it right in the line. Where'd it come from? Now, I'm saying this to get everyone here at the end so that you will see what's the matter. In other words, this is a revelation, and when you receive a revelation, it's going to do something for you. And it doesn't then have a thing to do with you as a person. It's the historical concept that will help you to put all the things of the seventh seal in line, because this is under the seventh seal. She was made to deceive like she did Adam at the beginning. God told Adam, fair and square, for this cause a man will leave father and mother. The father and mother of Adam was God, period. Anybody knows that? He said, boy, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to leave me for her. The switch and the cross blade. When all the young men started to get saved in the gangs, the girls came in, opened up their fronts and said, you'll get no more of this if you go to the altar. Don't anybody sit here and try to prove the prophet wrong. You just begin to believe what the prophet said. And again, it is not personal to any female in this building. But every female better watch out. And every male better watch out. Because there's no man so strong that he thinks he can titillate himself. Like the bakers and the swaggers. They just happen to get caught. They didn't mind they did it, no. They just were like the fellow that said, hey, aren't you afraid to steal? He said, I'm not afraid to steal. I'm just afraid I'm going to get caught. She's made to deceive like she did. Now, what a difference in this day and this day of conception. Instead of him being a ruler, she's become his god. A goddess. Sure, she rules him. Now, you can kind of well understand what I've been hitting at. By her beauty and her sex control, her shape that's given her by Satan, the byproduct that Satan did, she is sent to deceive sons of God, and she can sway more of them to hell than any other instrument that Satan's got. That's exactly right. I'm talking of the immoral now, not you, sister. See? We'll give you your place, right place, in a few minutes of the Word of God here. It was in God's plan from the beginning. Now, to do this today, what is the God of the United States? You remember the tabernacle years ago, I preached on the God this modern day, a little flapper sitting up there with makeup on, dress pulled up her knees, and I said, behold your God. That's right. She's on every advertisement, half naked. She's on the street the same way. An instrument of Satan from the beginning. And Jesus said, we see it now from the beginning and what he's talking about. Now, the heathen used to make her a god. Did you know that? A goddess. Sure did. They made her a goddess, and they said, and before they had sex acts in their worship. They claimed that she was a creator. In her womb, she carried a seed and created. That's a lie. There's only one creator, that's God. But you remember Paul there? The Anne of Ephesus, image of rock, said the goddess of heaven threw down. Don't you see how heathen worship is? And we knowing it turned right straight back to heathen worship again, to women, the very lowest creature on the earth. Now we're looking at the thought of alignment with creation. Now, you know God can take the lowest and make something out of it. But you notice right in creation here, he is not talking of women being spectacularly low, as though everyone was nothing but a vile, you know, garbage tin. He's telling you this is what obtains because that was in that area, and therefore because it was in that area, there is hardly a limit to what it cannot go in the wrong direction, woman worship. She would sway man any way she wants to. And knowing all that beauty on the outside and hell on the inside, Solomon said her gates is the gate to hell. Now we plainly see her with Jesus' book of Revelation, 2nd chapter 15 verse. You know, Jezebel and so on. Also, we can see plainly these vulgar, ungodly, filthy programs that are in television of Hollywood sex queens. That's right. We can see the filth of this city is these kids, little old girls walking up and down the street here, little bitty tight clothes, twisting around and cold enough to freeze them to death. Now where do you think they got that except in their homes? What's going on in our homes? You see, when I tell you, some of you people, you've got to watch what goes on because you've got older kids in your home and younger children, and we've got to live with our children. You don't believe me. You still think you can live in this stupid dream world. Mother love is so. Your mother love never came from God. As though some holy sanctified thing is going to get you there. Animals sometimes fight for their kids more than human beings do. You got to go to the Word of God. I can predict right now that some of the young kids are going to have trouble in church because you parents won't clean your homes up. Now, let's face it. Now, you believe Dale Stanthorpe, he's old, he's ready to go off the scene. And I would to God someone had talked to me. As a kid, I wanted to know things. I wanted to know things. I didn't know things. So bungle along. I'll clear my skirts before I die that you won't bungle along. You'll bungle along at your own destruction, own risk. You do it. But you got to call a spade a spade. You can't fool any longer. Because, listen, it's being revealed what lies in the nature of women across the board. See? Now, the men got to help the women. But the woman's going to fight the man. So what am I going to do? It's a good question. It's a good question. I'm not going to answer it right now. It's up to you to answer your own question at this point. We'll see what happens down the road. Little old girls don't even know what they're doing. They don't know that's the devil doing that. They're possessed of an evil spirit and don't know it. How many women got evil spirits on them? Now, a woman that said God doesn't have evil spirit on her. But don't you understand what he's showing, where this came from and where the danger is? And it's related to the church, my brother and my sister, because a woman types the church. And the man, whether he wants to know it, has to type Christ. And he doesn't want to know it because it means he's got to live up to something. Don't you understand, if we'd have had this teaching, people like me, 45 years ago, what could have happened in our lives? But it didn't happen. That's why the old crop will die off, and you young people that can raise your children right will stand here in the image of God, like I showed you in Job, plying the token to your household, knowing you're marching into Zion because you're a part of it. So if I bear down them kind of tough, it's not because I want to be tough, because I stand here and I'm past a lot of these things. I'm not past anything. I could be the... It doesn't have to be just one thing. You can get messed up with a thousand things. Money, popularity. Never was popular, and I'm getting less popular right now with this one here. This is going to be a blowout tire. And the tithes will stop coming in now, too. I'm too old to chase women. So I just tell it as it is. No problem. They don't know it's a devil. They're possessed with an evil spirit and don't know it. You don't see a female dog doing that, do you? Any other female doing that? No male better walk up to it. That's female, a male animal walking to a female. He wouldn't dare walk up to a male wouldn't walk up to a female trying to start something. She'd chew his cotton pig and hit him. Now you get the picture? We're introducing something just in a moment, the Lord willing. Now, you see Nicolaitans right back to the church. Again, the whole thing typing out, all of attributes, everything coming together. So let's let it come together. And some of it's shocking. You see, Nicolaitans, see, you see their doctrine. You see the teenage queens, they call them, these striptease out in the streets. Used to have to go to some vulgar show to see a striptease. Just open your eyes on the street. That's all you have to do now. The whole thing's a striptease, sure. Why do they do it? To tantalize tempt. That's the only thing she can do it for. She does it because she's filthy. She does it because she's made that way. She doesn't realize she's an instrument in the hands of Satan. Hollywood with their talk about God and having babies out of wedlock. And deliberately wanting and doing it. And the world standing by. What is it? 30 years ago they condemned Bergman. Ingrid Bergman got condemned as the prostitute she was. But they welcomed her back with a halo. To play gold in my ear. Now everybody's doing it. So that's fine. Well, one thing I like about the Catholic Church, they still stand pretty strict on some things. Protestants are down the road way worse than the Catholics are. Got to admit that. They got some things they stand. I don't say they, but I say they're practicing. At least they stand for them. You know, in the sense, at least they verbalize. Protestants do everything they can to get rid of it. It's very cute, you know. The people say, Popey old boy and priesty old boy and cardinal old boy, we're going to do it, so tell us we can have birth control. If they said, shut up and sit down, no birth control. The Protestants say, we're going to do it. And the pastors, the bishops say, Adam, go ahead, that's the thing to do, Now you go to school, you can't tell the kids about AIDS. To stay true to partnership and stay out of sex, they just say, hey, tell us how to get away with it. There's your church, Catholic, Protestant, a whole bunch of them. This church better say, how can I stand with God? You young kids, how can I stand with God? You're going to need to. Don't you believe the lies of these doctors that tell you AIDS isn't on a rampage. One of these days it'll hit. They got, oh God, I want to talk about it. Look, everything's at the end time. Now, she does it because she's filthy. She's made that way. She doesn't realize she never has seen. In our schools today, they're teaching sex acts. That's right. I was in Florida 30-some years ago. Man came to me bewailing the fact that the women and the teachers in school were teaching their children all about sex act and what it's like on the marriage night. Now, you think they held up anything back from the kids? What are your kids sitting here 5, 6 years old learning? Now they hear me preach, Dad, what did Levi mean? Mom, what did Levi mean? Tell them what Levi meant. It's your job. I'm putting it right on you.
Amen.
Too late to be squeamish. Look, if you get really hungry, and I could be, I got mad enough one time to eat oysters. I wasn't even hungry. Oysters were expensive. And this guy was jipping us so bad, and the cost was so high, I got so mad, I said, bring on the oysters. Yeah! I hate those oysters. As many as I could shove down. If I'd eat $100 worth to get back at the guy. Yeah, I'm letting you know what I'm like. Okay, work at it. That's why God forbids her to teach the word. His word, that's right. I suffered on a woman teacher to have authority over the man. That the woman keeps silence in the church. The law says so. Makes the whole Bible run in continuity. Just like the Lamb was last night. The only place of worship is under the shed blood of the Lamb. There's only one place today in Christ. Only way to do is to come to Him. That's the only one place to worship. It's always that way. Only one place under the blood. See now, we see the whole picture unfolding to us. There she is. That's why God won't let her teach. Won't let her do anything in the church, but sits there with a veiled face. Which means, a veiled face, you know, you gotta understand the symbolic language in there. In other words, to not to try to participate as initiating, but to receive. Now can you see why I have said the things done, the things I've said and things I've done, knowing in my heart, brothers and sisters. I know, sisters, you've got your place, just a moment, a wonderful character that God can mold in you. But I'm just trying to speak on the other side to show what you're actually from the beginning. And He's not hitting individuals now. He's telling about what this is all about. Jesus told us to go back to the beginning. In other words, He's trying to tell you exactly what marriage, rather what divorce is all about. It's about this. See, but I'm taking this from our question. Are women inferior? Now I've hit a few high points here. Jesus said, let's go back to the beginning. You can see today why people, they say I'm a woman hater. That's far from the truth. I do not hate women. They call me woman hater. Remember, they call Paul a woman hater. A woman minister said a long ago, oh, you're like old Paul. All he had to do is pick on us women. A saint of God that was permitted to write the Bible, the New Testament, and dispute His word. He said, if an angel in heaven teaches any other thing than this, would I should let him be cursed, let alone some woman preacher. Women preachers are a curse in the world. Listen, against the law, the Jews are letting women be rabbis. The only church standing firm today, a few gooks like us, is the Roman Catholic Church. And they'll have to let the bars down, don't worry. They'll let the bars down. They haven't got a prayer not to let the bars down. Unless they can suddenly recoup. I don't know. Now, they said Elijah's a woman hater. He wasn't a woman hater. He wasn't a woman hater of real women. He just didn't like Jezebel. Now, if that be so, then must be, God must be the same way, because He is the word which comes to the prophet. So God is not a woman hater. See? He's a hater of the woman, which is the church, which is false, that says she's the bride. See, He knows the original creation in the beginning. And He said from the beginning it wasn't so. And there were prophets who the word came to. And He made her for man and not man for her. Did you know that? The woman was made for man, not man for the woman. How many know that? The Bible teaches it. Now you're getting into type again, the bride in Christ. All right, she was given a place in man before the fall, equal all, over all creation. But after the fall now, here we bring the subject up, but after the fall, He was her ruler. She must keep silent in all matters. Now after the beginning is over, Jesus said it wasn't over the beginning. That wasn't in the first creation. In the beginning, God created just one male, one female. The woman was made different from the animals. All other animals were deception. Now watch. It wasn't from the beginning. If she'd have stayed in the original condition, she never would have fallen. But she caused the fault in the interruption that broke the whole continuity of God and showed death, sorrow, everything else on the earth in an uproar. She was made thus. Notice. Now, after the beginning, he says, emphasizing. Now, after time began back in Eden, it was over. See? Because eternity was in Eden. Notice. After the fall was made, after the fall, there was need to be another covenant made. Now, this is going to stumble you, but I'm going to give you the scripture to prove it. Notice, after the fall, Jesus said, God the beginning made one kind. After the fall now, we're beyond that covenant. The covenant which was co-equal before the fall, after the fall, another covenant was made. Now she is no longer ruler with Him. And each must have a separate covenant. In other words, you're going to see that God will treat the two differently. In respect to worship. And His word, and those things are involved there. But He's not going to treat them differently when it comes to salvation. And so he reads about enmity to the woman and the seed and so on right down the line. And then the woman said to the woman, he said, I'll greatly multiply your sorrow in thy conception. And sorrow you're going to bring forth children. Thy desire will be the husband as you rule over thee. And Adam, he said, because this is your wife, I'm going to put you out of the garden here and put you on the ground. And you're going to have to earn the living and whip your hands with thorns and thistles. And he said, you'll sweat day and night. He said, but you'll get a living out of the ground and you'll go back to the ground. Two covenants. It wasn't so in the beginning. See, one covenant. Now it's two. And now, after the beginning, after that, there's a double covenant. When Eve and Adam are no longer co-equal. Now, he said right here, now the world is to be repopulated, not by the original creation of God like in the beginning, not by the original creation, but by sex desire. Now, you know as well as I do, that after a little bit of experience with living life as it is rough, and the rearing of a family, if it weren't for the sexual drive, there wouldn't be any children born, period. And you know as well as I do that it's the sexual drive in men and women that caused them to use birth controls by either tribal litigation or the male taking the same precaution or other precautions, or the female taking precautions. So you can see where the problem lies, what he's talking about here. Now you'll know, once more now see that this was instituted in order that God would have his way. But he confined it to one man and one woman as a pair doing it. And you will notice that the covenant now came to the place because of this expression of sex. That man was going to be the creature he was because of the fall. And women would encourage it. They wouldn't say no. Man would begin to then, as Brother Branham said, go into polygamy. Now, right in here, he said, the world's to be populated not by creation, but by sex. See where the woman's at now. So she's got to do it, and he's got to do it. But that's the way the world's populated today through women. That's the reason Jesus had to come through the woman to bring it back to its original beginning again without sex desire. And that's exactly how Christ was born, and that's why the woman had the part in it. And the woman is not... And you can say the woman is definitely honored in this particular way that God used her. She started the fall, but she's used in bringing the means of God back and bringing the people of God back in the means that God gave to total redemption. But hallelujah, he said, there'll come a time when there'll be no more sex. God shall call his children from the dust of the earth back like they were in the original. See, that's her. Now, not through a woman, but through the molding of clay, the cosmic light, and those particular things, and he'll create again like he did Adam in the first time. Now, after the beginning, polygamy is introduced. God now secondarily sets a new nature again by sex. God created the first without sex. Do you believe that? Now it's another nature with sex. He sets it by another order, sex, the second covenant, and so on. Now, we could go into that for quite some time, but I don't want to go into that. You understand, Brother Branham said that, so we won't have to get that any further. Now, so, look, we could read all of this about 4 or 5 pages. I'm going to stop. But we see here that all nature expresses God. That's what Brother Branham's viewing us here, giving us a view. And his totality of attributes. So we see God here. All nature expresses God and his totality of attributes. And it is necessary to have the negative in nature in order to bring forth the positive God. As Irenaeus said, God being a Savior. It was necessary he predestinate a man who would require salvation in order to give himself reason to purpose of being. God being a healer was necessary for man to create a man who need healing to give himself reason and purpose of being. Now, let me continue. How many times, what we got left? 5 minutes? No need. What I'll do, I've taken you this far today. We will now go into a complete as understanding as we can come to from what we have said here to answer your question, which I have said unequivocally no. Are women spiritually inferior to men and therefore more sinful? Now, we saw in the Gospels how Christ treated women. We saw in the epistles how that women were not mistreated. It was the same word from the same God that was in action in human flesh in the Gospels, but he was not setting a church in order, for the church never came into being until Pentecost. But when the church came in order, it went like the Garden of Eden. And we found, as Brother Branham types out here, the church typing the woman, that women were out of order in the first church age, and so therefore the scripture had to be repeated and the people shown where the trouble came from and how the trouble was continuing. We can see that right through scripture. And so I cannot possibly come to a conclusion from what I see that a woman is spiritually inferior or more sinful than the man. I don't see that as a principle that's laid down in the Word. I merely see where it all comes from and where it's all going. Why it came and why it is going. And then bring you to the place where you see the grace of Almighty God in Adam, singular, male and female. And you're not going to have looking around and say women just ain't worth it. And that's why the women say, well, the men ain't worth it. I think the total misunderstanding on the part of men has been the biggest hindrance, which, because of the woman nature, sets certain things in orbit, if they're allowed, then the men get off a trail too. So we'll go into that on Wednesday, because there's no way I'm going to be able to finish this in this length of time. All right, let's rise and be dismayed. I do hope you got some help. I don't know. It's just one of those things, because that's just see. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time we spent together here. I really appreciate, Lord, the fact that you let us come here and talk to the people. A little ruffled spots, Lord, but meaning no harm to anybody, just knowing that if we don't do the right way, the right thing, we're going to harm everybody, harming ourselves, everybody else. We want to see a church come right across the board, Lord, in such a way that your Spirit can anoint every single person here until this sweet love of Christ is in the building and people get healed left and right, Lord, because we are not trying to downgrade anything, Father. And, you know, our hearts, we're really trying to believe for the ultimate in Christian conduct and in the not just the graces and fruitage, but also the miraculous manifestation, Lord, which people need at this hour. There are people here, Lord, with cataracts forming on their eyes. There's heart conditions, diabetes, and arthritis, of which I myself have a double load in my hand, so to speak. And things like that, Lord, there's people here that without your intervention, they're on the road down, Father. They could even die prematurely. So, Father, we're looking to come to Brother Branham said, take this message for your healing. And if I know anything this morning, Lord, from this pulpit, I know that there's something wrong with us and in the attitude of male toward female. We're simply not getting something. And that's not going to be a help to us. That could be the biggest hindrance in all the world. That's where it started in the Garden of Eden. So, our Father, we're trying to believe this morning and by your grace to get things lined up. And I especially ask you to help me not to say something that I shouldn't say. But be very, very careful to lay it out, O God, the way it's laid out in this Word. And if women are inferior spirits, then I want to know it, Lord, and they want to know it. And if they're more sinful, then I want to know it, they want to know it. But, Father, at this point, I cannot see myself that you said anything in your Word. Or the prophet said that very thing there. He just said where it all came from, and therefore what to watch. And so, Lord, that's what I'm looking at this morning, and I hope I'm right. If I'm not, then, Lord God, I expect you to correct me for the sake of the people, if not for myself, especially for the people. Wouldn't be so bad. Only bad enough if I mess up. But God, if I lead a bunch of people wrong, then that is bad. And I don't want that bad. I want the people here to be helped. Because we believe they're good people, believe they're your people. And if they weren't bride, they're your people anyway. We know that. Because no man lives himself and no man dies himself. We live or die, we are the Lord's. And that's what we understand this morning, Father. So we're just laying ourselves open to you to give us the help we have need of. And by this, inculcate in our midst, with a proper understanding, the blessing and the grace of God, so that the thing is going to open up to what you want in a bride. And that's what we want, Lord. Amen, Father. That's exactly what we want. Because if Eve had wanted what Adam wanted, and Adam wanted what you wanted, that would have been wonderful. But the devil came along, she got to handle what the devil wanted, and she wanted, and then Adam got in the same boat. Now, Lord God, you sent us a prophet. And he said, I always please him, I always do what he wants me to. What a wonderful testimony, Lord. And we want to stand in the shadow of that, Father. And not just in the shadow, but in the life of it. So that we're just one people. We're one with your word, with the prophet. And Lord, we believe by everything he was one with you, that God's in the prophet. So here we are, Father. We just poured our heart out to you. We're trying to be right. And I know, Father, that it's when we pray in Jesus' name, something's got to happen. And so we're praying in Jesus' name that you lead, guide, and direct us in these things, that we may be a free people, free from the goofyism, O God, and the things. And it's just not that, Lord, that we already was just a bunch of goofiness. But, Father, this is life and death. And so, Father, this morning we want to be on the side of life and that Jesus said, I've got no part in Satan. He's got no part in me. We don't want any part in darkness or in death. We want all the part of life. Now, help us to that end, and we'll give you the praise and the glory, because we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Do you love the Lord this morning? Do you want to be a part of His light and His life and nothing bad? Yeah, I want that too. And may God help us to just get to the bottom of these things where the prophet taught us and know it's going to do something for us. That's what I'm standing on, and you know I'm standing on. Once in a while, I kind of lower the boom, you know. And don't think I'm pointing fingers at anybody in this church. I'm maybe the worst one of the worst because I know more than any of you. So I got more to count for. But I tell you one thing. I'm standing on the fact that the truth makes us free. I'm standing on it. If God doesn't help us, look, we're shot. But if God does help us, who's going to stand against us? Amen. Just like each one of Moses, a one-man army. Book of Joel says the same thing. So, take the name of Jesus with you.